Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business, and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Well, for many families, the holidays are the only time that they manage to get all together. And for that reason, my guest today says it's not only the perfect time to create some great memories with each other, but it's also one of the best times to have that very important family discussion, such as caregiving for mom or dad. Right now, nearly 44 million adults are caregivers for loved ones in the U.S. over the age of 50. And as baby boomers ease into senior age themselves, it's likely that they're finding themselves sandwiched between their own children and their parents and probably taking care of both. Most caregivers are typically women, even with in-laws, and the average age is around 44, and they work outside the home. So there's a lot going on in people's lives. And Joan London is my guest. I actually sat down with her last week and talked about this topic with her. She is a passionate supporter of making sure you find the right caregiver situation for your parent and having that conversation early on, because in her own experience, she didn't have it at the right time. And it really does cause some headaches for families. So I'm going to bring that interview to you now. And then right after the interview, Eric has spent some time going through some great music to find us some music from around the world. Do you want to say a quick word about that, Eric?
Absolutely. We're going to be talking about some of the Christmas music in the UK, your home country, Australia, and Africa as well, and in many more places. So it's going to be a lot of fun, I think.
Sounds good. And I'm glad we're doing this today, because I apologize for my croaky voice. I'm recovering from flu. So
it looks like you're on the mend, which is good.
I feel bad
for you, though, because I know what it's like to be sick, and it's no fun, especially around the holidays.
Yeah, I don't usually get sick, so it's going and gone.
Good.
All right. So we're going to bring you the interview with Joan London. Let me just tell you a little bit more about Joan. She's obviously a well-known name to most people. She's someone who truly exemplifies today's modern working woman. She's an award-winning journalist, best-selling author, motivational speaker, successful entrepreneur, and one of America's most recognized and trusted television personalities. She's also a mom of seven. So she really does know what it takes to have it all and keep it all going. As host of Good Morning America for nearly two decades, she's now involved in skincare, sleep solutions, and even nonstick cookware. She's currently the spokesperson for the nation's leading senior referral service, A Place for Mom. And she also hosts Taking Care, which is a series dedicated to caregivers across America. And she recently co-authored a new edition of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Family Caregiving. Joan London.
Very early in my life, I started taking care of my mom and my brother, who had a lot of complications from having diabetes, financially. You know, I mean, I lived on the East Coast, they lived on the West Coast. I got the two of them into one condo, you know, because I figured it out after a while that it was better to have one electric bill and one phone bill. But it wasn't until my brother passed away about 10 years ago that all of a sudden, you know, there I was inside this condo looking around and all of a sudden completely responsible for the care of my mom, who at the time was 88. And that's what happens to most of us. Most of us don't plan ahead. We avoid the questions. We all get together as families, but it's the elephant in the room, and we don't put a plan in place. And I considered myself a pretty smart cookie, but there I was. I had to go through everything in the apartment, and I had to find a new place for her to live, because at that point she couldn't live on her own by herself. She had a little dementia. And unfortunately, we usually are making these big decisions and learning how to navigate this caregiving journey at a time of crisis.
Right.
So if there's one thing I can say to everyone listening, is that if you're not caring for someone, an elderly loved one, it's on your doorstep. It comes to all of us eventually. And if you just sit down and have conversations, especially especially if you have them when people are still able to really have great conversations with you in a positive way. You know, how do you see your life, you know, in the coming years? How do you want to be living? How can I help you do that? If you get that conversation started and you start educating yourself about how much it costs and asking your parents, did you plan for this? Do you have the funds? If you don't ask that question, it comes back at you later. It's so much better to know what you're going to be required to do down the line and maybe start putting away for it and saving for it so you don't get hit with it at a crisis point.
Right. Well, you are so right about it being that elephant in the room, because I'll share my personal story a little. My mom refused to discuss it. Absolutely refused to discuss it. And she was my best friend. She was my brother's best friend. Same with my sister. And she refused to discuss it. And I'll tell you, it does make it very difficult when something of crisis happens and you're having to make decisions for someone. One of the things you propose is having these kinds of conversations over the holidays. And, you know, when I first read that, I thought, boy, I'm not sure that's the best time to do it. There's alcohol involved sometimes, you know, people get stressed out over the holidays.
You might have to, like, watch that one, Vicky. But it is the time, and it is, those are the obvious times that everybody gets together.
You know,
Thanksgiving and the Christmas holidays or anniversaries. And it's a good idea to take advantage of those times when everyone's kind of in that family, love each other atmosphere. And I mean, probably the biggest suggestion I can make is call your adult siblings and have the conversation with them. At least open the conversation with them so you are all kind of on the same page, that you're all talking about it and thinking about what role you might take, how you might be able to help. And the other thing is, all agree that you're going to walk in this year, and there's kind of a 40-70 rule. If you're in your 40s or later and your parents are in their 70s, you need to be having this conversation. You need to be putting a plan in place, and you need to be looking at the situation realistically. Because I'll admit to you, I paid a lot of visits to my mom and my brother in the, you know, year or two previous to everything coming unraveled. There were signs. You know, the house wasn't as tidy. My mom wasn't dressing up as much as usual. Friends of hers were telling me that every time they called her to go out to lunch, she was saying no. They kind of become this recluse. And we go in with blinders on, because quite honestly, as kids, we don't want to see our parents.
Right.
You know, we don't want to know it, that it's starting to unravel. I say, be a food spy. Go in the kitchen, open up the refrigerator, check the dates on things, see if food is spoiled or expired. Is there nutritional food in their kitchen? Have they kind of lost the will to go in every night and cook dinner? Go in the bathroom. Like, what are their prescriptions? If they don't want to tell them to you, take every prescription bottle, write it down. Are they expired? Does it look like they're even taking them? Ask, what was the last time you saw your doctor? And who is your doctor? Do you know their name and their number? You know, well, none of us know what tomorrow's going to bring. And if all of a sudden you are thrown into this role, you need to know their doctor's names there. You need to know what prescriptions they take. You need to know who their, what their bank is. You know, be a snoop. You need to know where their bank account is. I went down this path. I didn't have all this information in line. Make a copy of their Social Security card. My mom couldn't even find her Social Security card. I had to go back and find a birth certificate and a marriage certificate. And I don't know if you realize how hard it is to get all this stuff.
Yeah,
and
it is.
With that, I could go to the Social Security Department, with her, by the way, I needed her, and get a Social Security card. And only then could I go get her a Medicare card, because she couldn't find anything. And, you know, it's so much easier if you start putting all this information together. And if you can, find out where the title is to the car and the mortgage to the house and the insurance policies, because you have to be a pretty darn good detective when you have to find this out in the middle of a crisis.
Right. And I think we need to put it to them as a benefit for them, as a backup, so they don't have to worry, because you know, for some parents, there's this tendency to want to hold on to that independence to the very last minute. And that's where the issues can come into place. I want to talk to you about a couple of things, Joan. I want to talk about caring long distance, because let's face it, so many people are, several thousand miles from their families, several hundred miles.
It's actually probably the more normal now.
Yeah. And, you know, and I had this case with my mom who was in England. You had this case with your mother. It is, I think, normal. How did you handle the long distance aspect of things?
Well, first of all, first and foremost, you have to decide where is the safest place for them to live if you're not going to be down the block to be able to go over and check them all the time. I mean, clearly for my mom, she wasn't going to be able to stay by herself. So, and I'll be honest, I moved her like three times in the beginning, and I thought they were the perfect place for her. But honestly, I picked out a place that would have been perfect for my mom 15 years earlier, because that was the mom I had in my mind.
Right, right.
And finally, you know, I got an advisor involved. I mean, that's why I became involved with A Place for Mom, you know, which is a Seattle company. I get to come out to Seattle every now and then now.
I know we missed
which
you.
I love your city. But it's the largest national senior referral service. And the good thing is that if you live in, you know, Oklahoma and you're trying to find a place for a parent in Los Angeles or whatever it is, you can go on the website and put in the zip code of where you're looking, and all of a sudden you get this advisor who can find not only all the different senior communities available, but all the other resources that are in that area that you can kind of get in contact with to make sure that you can help your parent in that local area. And, you know, I think there's a myth. I think there's this huge myth, and it's the roadblock in everybody's way. Everyone thinks that the second your parent moves out of their house or apartment, that they go into a nursing home and it's terrible and then they die.
That's the way it used to be, and it's a very hard perception to overcome.
Maybe it's the way it used to be, but it's not the way it is anymore.
Right, right.
You know, people are living so long that, you know, and if I had understood more, I would have gotten my mom into a senior community living situation 20 years before I would, because in that kind of a situation, she never would have become a recluse. She would have had card games to play and reading groups, and she would have gone with all the other seniors in that community on a bus to theater, and she would have had people to talk to instead of just being by herself. I think that the dementia progressed exponentially because she was alone. And then once they go from a senior community, then when they need a little bit more help, they can move into an assisted living community. And then finally, as they start to have, you know, a decline in their cognitive thinking and maybe the onset of dementia, they might need to go into memory care. But quite honestly, I think you can stave off that memory care living if you can talk your parent into moving out of a place where they live alone. That is the biggest cause of mental decline, is not having people to talk to and interact with.
And my guest in this segment is Joan London. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. I'm one out of every four children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. I'm lucky to grow up where I could be whatever I want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for kids like me. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair.
Made fresh each day for you. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everybody. I was talking last week with TV personality Joan London. We sat down and talked about a conversation that she believes is really important for you to have, and she thinks the holidays are the best time to have it. I think that depends on your family and how stressed out and how well they get on at the holidays. But I do think it's a very important conversation to have. And Joan had mentioned to me that she actually moved her mom 3 times before she found the right place for her. And then she consulted an advisor to find out, what kind of things were available. I asked her, what is the best way to approach the conversation with the family?
Approach it like a business meeting. Go in with an agenda and talk about, you know, there's the food aspect and shopping for a person, making sure that they have food. There's the medication and making sure that they get all the medications. And download this checklist. There's this great checklist that A Place for Mom did. It has about 50 things, but they don't miss a thing. And it's good for whether the parent is staying at home or whether they're in any kind of a care facility or senior community. I mean, down to, is there a non-slip mat in the shower? I mean, little tiny things. Are there area rugs around that they, you know, can trip on and go sailing? Because if that happens, you know, at 78 or 85 and they have a broken hip, it's not a little thing. It's a huge thing.
Yeah, it's not really unlike having a child. You have to learn how to take care
of the
child. And you know, when your parent suddenly needs that care that you didn't give before, there are things that you could miss. And I did actually look at that list and there were some good tips on there.
But you know what, Vicky? I don't know about you, but it was one of the most unusual transitions. You know, when you're a kid and you grow up and you go away to college, that's a natural transition. You learn to live by yourself. Then when you get married and you have somebody move in with you, that's a natural transition. Even, you know, having a child. But the day that you become a parent to your parent, that it's a very difficult transition because you've spent a lifetime being the child.
Right.
And it's uncomfortable when all of a sudden you have to start telling your parent, you know, what to do and helping them, you know, with a napkin so that they don't, you know, spill food all over them. I mean, just the tiniest little details of everyday life. And therefore it's very hard for people to accept this one. But if everyone listening right now just understands we're all going through it, and we're all going to be going through it more and more just because of the what's happening to the population in America.
That's right. Yeah.
Older population is growing disproportionately, exponentially. And our parents are living 15, 20 years longer than they ever thought they would. And, you know, we aren't tending to retire at 65 because, hello, all of a sudden if you're going to live till 95, that's 30 years. So we all have to start thinking in a different way about how we plan out later life. And they're alive for so many years. If you don't plan on this early on and perhaps start saving for it, or, you know, pull in all your siblings to try to make this plan and educate yourself. I mean, you can, you know, a lot of people call a place for mom. They aren't ready to move a loved one in tomorrow or maybe even next year. They're educating themselves so that they and their siblings can start doing the math and figuring out how much it's going to cost, so they can ask their parents, are you going to be able to afford this? Because if they aren't, you guys all better figure out how you're going to do it.
Well, I think you've given us some great food for thought here. And, you know, one thing that we do need to remember when we're caregiving is to take care of ourselves. If we don't take care of ourselves, then we're no good to anyone. So what's your number one tip for that?
You know, it's hard, I think, especially for women, because we are caregivers by nature. I mean, we're just wired that way. We're always worrying about everybody else. And so somehow everything that we're supposed to do for ourselves keeps getting bumped down to the bottom of our to-do list. And it's not that we're irresponsible, because, you know, we would never dream of missing a doctor's appointment for one of our children or even for a parent. But you have to remember that if you don't take care of yourself and you don't give yourself breaks and you don't call out for help and you don't ask your support system and get a support system in place in your neighborhood, within your family, within your relatives, if you just do it all yourself, you are, in the end, it's going to take a toll on you. And literally, women that are caregivers live fewer years than their counterpart women who are not taking care of elderly. And it's because they're not paying attention to their own health. They're not going for their own doctor's appointments. And stress is such an important thing on your longevity. If you just allow this stress to become overwhelming and you don't take time out, you will see that it's going to decrease your longevity. And not only that, you won't be as healthy in your later years. So, and we have a lot of women today that are literally living in poverty because all of their money has gone, and there's a lot of Americans right now that are dipping into their own retirement funds in order to take care of their parents. So the big worry is, we have to say, then what's going to happen when it's time for them? Right. So, you know, these are kind of, in a way, these problems have always been around. They're just much bigger problems, and they're touching many, many, many more families today because of the economic downturn that we just took, and also because of, you know, just the fact that longevity, you know, 60 years ago, nobody lived past 65 years old.
Right, right. Very different world. Well, Joan London, thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for your words of advice here. A final word you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I just hope that it's food for thought, and that I get that little thought process going in everybody's head, and that they put it on their radar. You know, obviously you want to go in and you want to have a wonderful, wonderful, joyous, loving time with your family, but it's great if you use this opportunity to at least connect with your adult siblings, hopefully you have some, and start this thought process and start the conversation. You will be so happy a year or two or three down the road.
Yeah.
You don't have to think about me, but you'll be happy that you started the process.
And that was Joan London. We sat down last week and talked about the conversation to have with your parents. Joan is a spokesperson for A Place for Mom. You might have heard her mention that. And she is a spokesperson for A Place for Mom. I looked up on their website how A Place for Mom is paid, and it's paid for by the participating communities and providers in their national network. So the service is offered at no charge to families, but the residences and the communities and providers pay to be listed on their website. So if you want to know more about that, just check out A Place for Home and find out, A Place for Mom, and ask them what kind of due diligence they put in place there. They have a whole bunch of information on their website. All right, please do stay with us. We're going to switch up the gears here. And Eric's got some great music lined up for us. When we come back, I'm going to toss this over to him so I can give my little throat a rest here. And please stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
OMG. Grammar abuse is no LOL. Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Bothell Feed Center, we cover the world of animals. This week, December 29th, Auld Lang Syne with the Jingle Cats and its shelter, rescue sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. We'll check in with our regulars, plus the CEO of Dogs Deserve Better. She's directly involved with the effort to shut down the Olympic Dog Sanctuary, getting the dogs out of this abusive situation. All the details and how you can help, Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk. AM 1150.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Find out about upcoming shows at conversationslive.net.
Clear, clean, and crisp. Check us out in digital quality sound on FM 98.9 HD3. Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back, everybody. This is the party hour of the show, or the party half hour, I should say. Eric Ryder spent some time going through and selecting some Christmas music from around the world that you might not have heard before or that's a little unusual. I'm going to bring him on and tell us what you've got lined up for us.
Good afternoon, Vicky, and happy Christmas. And
Merry Christmas to you.
Happy New Year to all our listeners as well. I thought this was a great idea. You mentioned that you thought it would be fun to play some music from around the world celebrating Christmas, and I couldn't agree more that it's always fun to kind of delve into other traditions and other music from around the world. So I thought we'd start with your home country because you are from the UK, and UK has a big tradition of music. Before we delve into that, though, I did want to mention that playing a little bit of the Hoodoo Gurus, which is an Australian band, and their kind of surf Indian version of Little Drummer Boy that's got a little bit of sitar going on it. So I thought, but you couldn't get more global than that, really.
No, I thought it was Indian. I was surprised when you said Australian.
Yeah, they're Australian. And it's kind of a surf version, but also with the sitar in there, definitely has the Indian influence. And it's one I've always enjoyed. And it kind of throws back to the tradition of the Ventures with their popular Christmas instrumentals. And Ventures, of course, started in Tacoma, where we actually both live.
Cool.
And very popular in Japan. So it all ties together when you start delving into music.
Right,
you find all these little connections. And we'll talk a little bit more about Australian Christmas music here in a minute. But I wanted to talk about how in the UK, the Christmas number one tends to be the biggest song of the year. And typically, these are often novelty songs or charity songs or songs with a Christmas theme. But not all of the songs have been songs with a Christmas theme, that's for sure. Some of the bigger songs like 1965, Day Tripper from the Beatles, Tom Jones, Green Green Grass at Home in 66.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Dave Edmonds, I Hear You Knocking in 1970. Queen with Bohemian Rhapsody in 75. And actually, they had a hit with Bohemian Rhapsody later and that became a number one in 1991. So the Christmas number one is a really big deal in the UK. They even take bets on it in places like Ladbrokes and Paddy Power, I think, are
they
the betting shops, right?
They bet on everything in England.
They do.
Britain, excuse me.
They do. And but one of the things that they bet on is who's going to be the Christmas number one. Well, since 2002, the Christmas number one has been dominated by reality television contests, mostly by The X Factor, which, as people know, is kind of like the American Idol of the UK. And I guess we have the X Factor over here now. Simon Cowell has done that as well. I don't know what the difference is because I don't watch those. But in the UK, the X Factor has basically produced every number one song for the last 10 years at Christmas time. And most of them not Christmas songs, except for back in 2009, people were so sick of the X Factor contestants taking number one that there was a big campaign to get the band Rage Against the Machine to number one with a download of their older song called Killing in the Name, which not a Christmas song at all,
but that
was actually successful. So since then, you've seen a lot of these dark horse options, little campaigns trying to get songs that are not Christmas songs, A, and are not X Factor related in any way to number one. And only that one Rage Against the Machine one back in 2009 actually made it and did it. And so this year, another X Factor contestant at number one, and we'll play a little bit of her song. It's Sam Bailey, who I guess used to work in a prison, but now is a pop star thanks to the X Factor.
You never know.
You never know. So here's a little bit of the current number one song in the UK right now. It's called Skyscraper. It's by Sam Bailey.
Only silence as it's ending, like we never had a chance. Do you have to make me feel like there's nothing left of me? You can take everything I have. You can break everything I am, like I'm made of. I'm made of paper. Don't wanna try to tear me down. I will be rising from the ground like a skyscraper, like a skyscraper.
Okay, so that doesn't necessarily put you in the Christmas mood if you're me, but it is the number one song. But sometimes Christmas songs do become number one songs, including the charity song, Do They Know It's Christmas by Band-Aid. And I don't know if you remember, but back in 1984, Bob Geldof wrote a song and put together a super group. It was connected with the Live Aid charity concert that they did that year. And so it's got people like Boy George and Bob Geldof and Sting all got together, recorded Do They Know It's Christmas. And in 1984, that was the Christmas number one. But in 1989, a new version of Band-Aid also had the Christmas number one with a new version of Do They Know It's Christmas. And then in 2004, Band-Aid 20, I don't know how they skipped from 2 to 20, but in 2004, it was a hit again and became the Christmas number one in 2004. So for three generations, I guess, Do They Know It's Christmas was the number one song. So we're going to play a little bit of the original since it at least it's a bit of a Christmas song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyone in the UK in 1984 would have heard that probably for a whole month, just everywhere, shops, the stores, everywhere you went, that was playing. Along the lines of like USA for Africa, as We Are the World was everywhere in this country the same year. Do They Know It's Christmas was just insanely huge over there. And it was for a good cause. So I think that's a good thing. But again, the only song to be the Christmas number one for 3 different years. So kind of cool, I thought.
Yeah, very good.
Let's see. We're talking about England. Let's pop over to Ireland. It's right next door. And when a lot of people think of Irish Christmas music, they think of something like the Irish Rovers doing Christmas in Killarney.
The holly green, the ivy green, the prettiest picture you've ever seen is Christmas in Killarney with all of the folks at home. It's nice, you know, to kiss your beau while cuddling under the mistletoe. And Santa Claus, you know, of course, is one of the boys from home.
The door is always open, the neighbours pay a call, and Father John, before he's gone, will bless the house and all. Our hearts are laid, our spirits bright, we'll celebrate our joy tonight. It's Christmas in Killarney with all of the folks at home.
The holly green, the ivy green, the prettiest picture you've ever seen is Christmas in Killarney with all of the folks at home.
I love that. What did he sing? Kiss your beau and cuddle under the mistletoe.
That's right.
I love that.
And Santa's just a boy from back home. Which, you know, probably the most famous version of Christmas in Killarney, oddly enough, is by Bing Crosby. Born where? Tacoma.
No.
Yep.
Bing Crosby was born in Tacoma.
That's right. You can walk by the house where he was born, even. Still there.
I did not know that.
That's right. So it all kind of ties together, as I say. But so a lot of people probably think of that, the jig, you know, when they think of Irish music for Christmas time. But one of the, you know, I actually don't think that song was even written in Ireland, but it has been adopted by Irish groups
for
sure.
It's a jolly song.
It is a jolly song. And it definitely puts me in the mood of Christmas when I hear it. Regardless of who's doing it. But one of the biggest Christmas songs of all time is actually by an Irish group that takes some of that traditional music but kind of mixes it with more modern rock. Back in the 80s, the Pogues teamed up with the UK's Kirsty MacColl, and they did a song called Fairy Tale of New York that has become one of the standards, one of the classics. And we'll just play a little bit about it because I think folks might recognize this one.
Yeah.
I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas. I love you, baby. I can see a better time when dreams come true.
They got cars big as bars, they got rivers of gold, but the wind goes right through you, it's no place for the old. When you first took my hand on a cold Christmas Eve, you promised me Broadway was waiting for me. You were handsome,
you were pretty queen.
Oh, boy. Love that song. And I think what touches people is that it's got both the sadness, you know, and it's kind of a sad story in some ways, but it's also got the happiness in it, the jig, the upbeat music that kicks in. So you get kind of the best of both worlds, the melancholy that a lot of us feel around the holidays, but also that celebration that you can't help but also feel. So I think it's one of the great Christmas songs, and that again from the Pogues, at a very popular Irish band that I think a lot of people would know.
Yes, I've heard. Even I've heard of the Pogues.
Good. Good. Well, we've got more places to visit on our little global tour of Christmas music, but maybe we should take a break and come back and talk some more.
That sounds good. Thanks for talking us out there, Eric.
We'll be right back with more Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Can't make it all alone. I built my dreams around you. For Christmas Day.
Do you love wildlife? Then make a real difference by helping PAWS care for sick and injured wild animals. Volunteers help feed and clean the animals until they are well enough to return to the wild. Sign up today and help save a wild life. No experience necessary. All training is provided. Visit PAWS.org or call 425-787-2500.
Hi, I'm Pat Pauley. Tune into my show, Get Active, each Tuesday at 12 noon on Alternative Talk 1150. Each week, we invite a guest to talk about one of the wonderful activities in the Puget Sound region, ones that you may want to participate in. We'll focus on how adult beginners can comfortably get into all of these activities. You'll learn a lot about how you can get active. Be sure to listen. That's Get Active with me, Pat Pauley, at 12 noon each Tuesday on Alternative Talk 1150.
I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. I'm one out of every four children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. I'm lucky to grow up where I could be whatever I want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide seven meals for kids like me. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Listen to podcasts of past shows at conversationslive.net.
Tired of the insanity of other talk radio stations? Just click your radio knob and say, there's no place like Alternative Talk 1150.
A very hot summer, so when Santa Claus delivers his presents, he's not taken round by reindeer because they can't stand the terrible heat. He's taken round by six big, white, old man kangaroos called the Six White Boomers. Early on one Christmas day, a joey kangaroo was far from home and lost in a great big zoo.
Mummy, where's my mummy? They've taken her away.
We'll help you find your mummy, son. Hop up on the sleigh.
So up beside the bag of toys, little Joey hopped. But they hadn't gone far when Santa stopped, unharnessed all the reindeer, and Joey wondered why. Then he heard a far off booming in the sky. Six white boomers, snow white boomers, racing Santa Claus through the blazing sun. Six white boomers, snow white boomers, on his Australian run. Pretty soon old Santa began to feel the heat, took his fur-lined boots off to cool his feet. Into one popped Joey, feeling quite okay, while those old man kangaroos kept pulling on the sleigh. Hey, six white boomers, snow white boomers, racing Santa Claus through the blazing sun. Six white boomers, snow white boomers, on
on his Australian run.
Love that, Eric. Look, I know that Rolf Harris. I know that from when I was a little kid. Not the song, but Rolf Harris.
Well, yes, we are back here on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, and we are talking about Christmas music from around the world as we get ready to celebrate the holidays. And yeah, that is Rolf Harris, Six White Boomers. A lot of people might recognize his song that was a number one hit, in fact, a Christmas number one, back in 1969, Two Little Boys. We'll play a little bit of that.
Gaily they played each summer's day, warriors both, of course. One little chap then had a mishap, broke off his horse's head, wept for his toy, then cried with joy, as his young playmate said, "Did you think I would leave you crying when there's room on my horse for two? Climb up here, Jack, and don't be crying. I can go just as fast with two. When we grow up, we'll both be soldiers, and our horses will not be toys. And I wonder if we'll remember when we were two little boys."
So, yeah, that was Christmas number one in the UK and probably Australia in 1969.
Yeah. And it's a sad song in many ways, but it's also a lovely song.
Yeah, yeah. It's about two friends through their whole life.
Yeah.
So it's fun. It's a little bit sentimental, but it's I think worth checking out, including his other song that we started with as we came back in, Six White Boomers, which I think is pretty self-explanatory. It talks all about how in Australia, it's actually summertime. It's for Christmas.
Right.
Yeah, because they're
peak summertime.
Peak summertime, because they're on the other side of the planet. And so, yeah, it's quite hot. So people are in beachwear and celebrating Christmas, having barbecues, throwing shrimp on the barbie, if you will, down on the beach. So the idea that Santa Claus would be kitted out in the whole fur coat and on a sleigh with reindeer seems a little bit strange. So he came up with this story of these old man kangaroos, the Six White Boomers, that take Santa Claus around his Australian run. So I think that's kind of a fun one.
Yeah, that is a fun one. I love it.
So I thought we'd play a little bit of a Japanese Christmas song.
Ooh, cool.
Now, this is by a group called Tokyo, T-O-K-I-O. It's called Ding Dong. So let's hear a little bit of this.
Don't make me laugh.
Tokyo with Ding Dong there.
Who knew?
I kind of like that. It is upbeat and kind of catchy. I think that kind of is keeping with the Japanese idea of Christmas, which with not that many Christians in Japan, Christmas is obviously not as big a deal as it is over here or the UK or Ireland or Australia, but it is a popular holiday. And in fact, it's mostly for, it's kind of like what Valentine's Day is here. It's mostly for couples to give gifts to each other, but also just to spread the idea of happiness and joy in general. So, And there's a lot of people that are secular in this country that have kind of the same attitude. So Japanese approach to Christmas, I think, is a lot like, the secular celebration that people that aren't religious have with Christmas in places like the United States and Ireland and the UK.
Yeah, so. Very interesting, Eric. I did not know that.
Yeah. So now I thought it would be nice to play something from places we don't normally hear a lot about as far as Christmas music. This is the African version of Jingle Bells, but it's Sing Noel. And I think it's very cool. And I wasn't able to find a lot of information about this, but I did find the song and this performance of it, which I think is really cool. So I'll tell you what I know after we play a little bit of it.
Okay, good. Awesome. That was really some drum playing.
Yeah, definitely. Very percussive, which is keeping with the African style of music. Very drum oriented. And that's actually a version by the Marionettes Chorale and the Marionettes Youth Chorale, who did their version of it. And they're actually not from Africa. They're from Trinidad and Tobago. But as we know, in the Caribbean, that's a strong African-influenced immigration there. And so it's very natural for them to do a traditional kind of African song there. Yeah. So that's, they're Sing Noel. So a fun song, I think.
Awesome.
And I think we're actually out of time for our little travel around the world.
Thank you so much for taking us. And it was very fortuitous that we chose to do that today since I have no voice.
So yes.
I appreciate the effort you put into that, Eric.
Oh, well, thank you.
And, you know,
it was fun.
I know it's not, you know, always PC to say Merry Christmas, but I do wish everyone a Merry Christmas. And I say, you know, if people wish you Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah or Happy Kwanzaa, you know, just be grateful that somebody said something nice to you with heartfelt warm wishes. We will be back next week with a rebroadcast, but we'll be back live in January with all new programming. Please join us then. Thanks so much for being with us. Happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.